You know, what's real special about that is the young man on that piano is blind and to sing a song like that, how thankful he is, folks. Let me tell you something. No matter what's going on in your life, you be thankful. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Well, this coming Thursday, of course, is Thanksgiving. We've already had our emphasis on Thanksgiving, but let me say to you, folks, as we get into this last congregation, last church that we're going to study, before the dynamics of Revelations is going to change, and believe me, it's getting ready to change. But the thing that I want you to understand about as we get into the fourth chapter of Revelations, the part that you're going to see and hear about, especially from the fifth chapter on, is something that if you are a child of God, you're not going to have to deal with. And I'm going to remind you of this time after time after time after time. Because this book gets pretty frightening and pretty scary on what this planet is getting ready to face. But I will remind you over and over and over and over, if you're part of the family of God, when we get ready and understand what the rapture is all about, we are not going to be here. But before we get to that, we've got one last church. We started this journey last week, and we're going to finish it today. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm very thankful for this congregation. I'm very thankful for this church and everything this church stands for. This is not a perfect church, but it is a loving church. And it is a church that will welcome you. It's a church that will forgive you. It's a church that will love you. And I'm thankful today that you are part of this congregation. And I want to say that to you right off the bat of how thankful I am that you are here today in God's house. Give the Lord a hand of applause. All right, Brother Larry, how many of you are, sir? All right. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot, and I would that thou wert cold or hot. You remember last week, those of you who were here. Here is what Jesus sees wrong with this congregation. And he's going to address us a little bit more as we get into it. And I tried to explain to you last week that some people says, well, why in the world would he want us cold and not lukewarm? Because lukewarm means you have not really truly understand what it is to be a child of God.
Amen.
You're not truly understanding what it is to be saved by the blood of the Lamb. We've got people that attend church all across this globe or are on membership rows of churches all across this land that know nothing whatsoever about being committed or dedicated to a church. They go for other reasons other than what they really should be there for. And under that, it's called lukewarm. Now, I said last week, and I'm just going to rephrase this real quick, if you're cold, Jesus has a chance at you. Because if you're lukewarm, you don't see anything wrong with how you are. You don't see any sin in your life. You don't see anything. You just seem to think that somehow or another, God's just going to love you no matter how you do, how you act, where you go, what you say. Now, that's not true. God's not going to automatically accept you into heaven because the fact that you are a human being. The only way that you're going to see heaven's gates and heaven's place and heaven's glory is through the blood and the belief and the faith in Jesus Christ. Period.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand of applause. So he says, I know how you are. I'd rather you to be cold, because I said last week, if you're cold, you'll find a way to get warm. Anybody here like to be cold? I don't like to be cold. That's why they make blankets, coats. And I said last week, they make these electric blankets and electric mattresses. And thank God they've got dual controls. That's what saves marriages, you know? Because some people are hot, some people are cold. But I guarantee you, if you're cold, you'll find a way to get warm. Once you realize you're cold. Make sense so far? Say amen.
Amen.
That's why he would rather have you cold, because when he presents the plan of salvation to you to warm up and to understand what it is to be hot for Jesus, you have more chances of accepting that than you will if you're lukewarm. That's why he said, I'd rather you be cold than lukewarm. Same thing if you're hot. I get hot pretty easy because I've got some insulation. So, you know, this is not just all muscle. I know y'all think it is, but it's just not all muscle here. All right? Let's just keep this straight right now. You understand that, Kevin? It's not all muscle right there. You understand? Okay. Well, Carl, you understand that?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. All right. Well, if you're hot, if I'm hot, I want to get cool. I want to get where it's air conditioned. I want to get somewhere where I can get relief from hot. So if I'm hot, I'm also going to seek out that which can give me relief. And Jesus can give you relief. But if you're lukewarm, you're just sort of in that comfortable stage. And we've got people all over this planet that are in this comfortable phase. One day they're saved, one day they're lost. One day they don't know, one day they do. One day they go to church, one day they don't. I mean, it's just that kind of a deal. When you get into that situation, you are an absolute playground for Satan. Satan will absolutely pull at you, and he will make a mess out of your life. That's why he says, I either want you cold or hot, because I'm going to reach you, and you will reach to me either way. That's why you don't want to be lukewarm. Do you understand the message? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, Brother Larry, here we go. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of thy mouth. We understand what this means. We understand in real English, it means to throw up, it means to vomit. Oh my goodness gracious, how awful a picture is that? That God gets so sick of us and how we act, how we walk, and how we go in life that he just throws up. Throws us up. Throws us out. Pitches us out. Don't want to have anything to do with us. That's what this picture is. Now, this is where we left off last week, and we pick up here on verse 17. I really want you to see as he looks at this congregation. Now, I also said last week, and I want you to understand this as well. Most scholars believe, and I agree with them, that every one of these churches represent not only a real congregation, but also represents a time in history leading up to the rapture of the church. This is the last church in this series, which means this also represents the last generation before the rapture of the church. That means this generation, that means the attitude of the people that's alive on the planet today. Now I want you to look at it and see what it says. Verse 17. Because thou sayest, thou here being the church, the congregation, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. All right. Jesus says, you say you're rich. You got everything you need. And you have need of nothing. This is the attitude. I don't need God. I don't need the church. I don't need anything. I made myself. What I got is because I worked hard for it. What you see is because I work for it. Whatever it is about me, it's because of who I am. I'm the one that's created this. God says, listen to me. You say you're in need of nothing. I say you're in need of everything. Look what he says. He says you're wretched. You're miserable. You're poor. You're blind. And you're naked. God's saying this about his own church, about his own people, about his own congregation, and about the world that we live in today. Because the world says, you know, I don't even want to hear the name of God. I don't want to hear the name of Jesus. It's not allowed anywhere. We don't want it brought up on any way, shape, or form because we don't need that. We're smarter. Look how far we've come in technology. Why do we need God? We've got everything. People are living longer. We've got a way to save your life. You know, we've got cars to get you around. We've got people who are educated. We've got people who have just figured out every way in the world to live. And yet God says, this is the worst generation of all. I don't care how much money you got. How many cars you got? I don't care how big your house is. You've got nothing. You've got nothing. You've got nothing.
unless you have me. Do you get that?
They see what it says. You think this is the generation we're living in today?
Oh, I think so. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of applause in his house. All right, Larry. I counsel thee, I beg thee, listen to me, to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. For as many as I love, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now, the real thing about this town and this city, I want you to listen to me very closely. These people had money. There were three things in this town that they were known for. Number one was they had money because they had some gold. Number two, they were very big in clothing. I mean, in the day, they had the real Neiman Marcus. I mean, they had the top line. There were no Walmarts there. I mean, this was the high-end stuff. These people knew how to dress. And then they also had an eye salve that they had invented in this town that really helped your eyesight and you rubbed it on your eyes. Now keep that in mind. Look how this verse comes alive. I counsel thee to buy me gold, tried in fire. See the word gold. That thou mayest be rich, tried in fire. And white raiment, holy, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesight, that thou mayest see. He said, you think you got gold, you got clothes, you got medicine. You know, money, you know, gives you security, supposedly. People like clothes. You know, the nicer the clothes, the more that you sort of get stuck on yourself. And now they even have medical technology. Make me live longer. I got money, I got clothes, I got medicine. What do I need God for? God says, let me tell you something, that money won't get you into heaven. I don't care how fine of clothes you got, it's not going to get you there. And you can put eye salve on your eyes and you got 20/20. I still say you're blind as a bat, because without me, you will not even see heaven. Amen. You see what he's saying? He said, I'm challenging you. Put on real eyes. Put on clothing that brings honor to me. Take that gold and burn it, because that gold's not going to get you into heaven. He said, as many as I love, I want to teach you something. He said, I chasten you, and I'm going to ask you to do one thing, and that's repent. Now, when we get to these next verses, this is probably one of the most pathetic scenes you're going to see anywhere on this planet. And when we get there, I want to show it to you, because I believe there are some churches on this globe today that have this problem. Brother Larry, let's go. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. This is his building. This is his property. On any church across this globe, can you believe that God is now welcome in some churches across this globe? He has to stand outside of the church and knock in order to try to get in. You see that? He said, I'm knocking. I want to come in. If you own an apartment, you own a house, you own a trailer, it's your property. It's pretty bad when you got to stand outside and knock to come in on your own house, isn't it? I wouldn't like that. I ain't having that. I paid for the place. I'm going to get in there. But it's the same. This is his place, and he's not even welcome in some churches across this globe because of the way they act, what they teach, how they talk, how they walk. Because you see, if you don't welcome him in your home,
You don't want him here either. Because when he's in here, he brings conviction. He brings repentance. He makes us think. Pulls at our heart. Because you see, if we're lukewarm, we don't want that. I'm warm enough. I'm comfortable enough. And that's just the way Satan wants you. Satan wants you so comfortable in your seat across this globe that you don't need God for anything. Even if you're sitting in his house, he's not even welcome in his own house. Now let me say something to you. In these last days in which we live, I want Jesus in his house, in his church. I want him in my house. I want him in your house. I want him welcome. Because I want him one day to welcome me to my home. If he's not welcome in this church, if he's not welcome in my home, one day I'm not going to be welcome in his home.
That's right.
What do you think about that? Give the Lord a hand.
Amen.
I don't want that. I don't want him to say, depart from me, I never knew you. I want him to say, the Lord's wide open, the door's wide open, Chris, come on in. Welcome home. Good to see you. I got a room waiting right for you. Got your name on it. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in. Now look at the invitation. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will. Listen to me closely. Here's one of the greatest invitations in God's word right here in the book of Revelation. Before things begin to get bad, here's what he says. He says, I'm knocking. If you'll open the door, I will come in. I don't care what your past. I don't care what you said. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've said. But here's one thing I want you to see. You're the one that has to open the door. He's knocking. And in a few minutes, when we give this invitation, he's knocking. He's knocking. He's knocking on your heart. He's knocking on your brain. He wants to come in. He wants to come in. He wants to be with you. And he's going to knock. And he's going to knock, and he's going to knock, until one day he's going to stop knocking.
That's right.
But right now, he's still knocking. And if you, and if even myself will open the door, I want you to look what he'll do. He will come in and will sup with him and he with me. Not only will he come into your life, he'll stay. Fellowship. We're going to eat. We're going to enjoy each other's company. If there's one thing on this planet that I enjoy every day of my life is my fellowship with Jesus.
Amen.
Are you with me? Do you understand that? Do you see that? I want him every day. I want to eat dinner with him every day. That's why I have prayer over my food, because I want him right there with me. I want him there. I need him there. Lord knows I need him there. You need him in your home? You need him here for your supper? For your dinner? You need him there, don't you? You want him there. That's why he needs to be here. He's knocking. Look what he says. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne. See, now he's gone from your house to his house. You see that? Even also I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit down. You grant me into your home, I'm going to grant you into my home. You welcome me into your home, I'm going to welcome you into my home. You see the deal? You see that? We welcome him into this church, he's going to welcome us into his church one day. It's all about, we let him in, he's going to let us in. Do you understand? Do you get the picture? Do you see it? I mean, this is very clear. People talk about how hard Revelation is, and it is. But folks, this is as clear as nose on your face. You invite him, he's going to invite you. If you have an ear, if you've got any sense at all about you, you need to listen. And if you're watching by internet, if you've got an ear, you better listen. Because I'm telling you, one day the knocking's going to stop. But the knocking's going on today. He's knocking today. He's knocking to get into your heart, into your home, into your church. He's knocking today. He's knocking today. He's knocking today. I don't care what you did yesterday. I don't care what you did last week. It doesn't matter to him either. Today is the day to change. Today is the day to listen.
today is the day. As for me and my house, he's welcome. What about your home? Open up that Bible. Pray over that food. Be thankful that his presence is in there. Because let me tell you something. If you don't open the door, he will not come in. And if he's not welcome here, there's going to come a day when you're not going to be welcome there. I don't know how to make that any plainer. Believe me, when we get into the rest of this book, you're going to want to be welcome there. Because what's getting ready to happen after the rapture of the church and what this world is going to see, you think this world is wicked now. You think we got all kinds of problems now. You read your newspaper, you get on the internet, you listen to the news, you go to any news channel you want to see it. You hear about everything going on around the world today and you think it's bad. We've not seen nothing until this church leaves the world. Because one day he's coming after you and I. One day he's coming after the church. It's called the rapture. And from here on out, we're going to start getting excited and studying about the rapture. Believe me, this is one ride you do not want to miss. Do you listen to me? When that trumpet sounds, you do not want to miss this ride. This ride is coming, and you want to ride it with Jesus. You want to ride it with Jesus. When the trumpet sounds, it's going to be heard around the world. You want to ride it with Jesus. Do you want to ride it with Jesus? Give him a hand of applause. He that has an ear, let him hear. Would you stand with me, please? As every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Oh, Jesus. Sweet Jesus. Your presence is in this place. Your grace is in this place. Your mercy is in this place. Your forgiveness is in this place. If there be anyone here today that's lost, has never ever accepted Jesus, or maybe is here today and is confused, or maybe is here today and don't know for sure. If you're saved, you know it. If you're not for sure, you're lost. Today is the day of salvation. The trumpet is in the hands of Jesus. It's getting ready to come. He's coming. He's coming. He's knocking today, but there's going to come a day when he's not going to knock. Are you ready? Are you ready? Do you know him? Father, bless these moments. In Jesus' holy name, bless these moments. If you need a quiet time at this altar, we're going to invite you to come. But if you're here today and you're lost, just come and say, Brother Roger, I'm lost. I want to accept Jesus Christ. We're going to have a word of prayer. Your life's going to change. And from this day forward, you're going to be saved. If you're serious, if you mean it, if you're ready to repent, this is your day for the rest of your life. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ban Satan and his thoughts from this place. This is your moment. We thank you, Jesus. In your holy name we pray. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, would you come in the name of Jesus?